The timing of a new collective bargaining agreement could change everything about the Boston Celtics offseason. And I'm going to talk about it right here on a Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm the MassLive Boston Celtics beat reporter and host of this show Monday through Friday. So if you're a new listener, welcome aboard. Glad you're taking a few minutes here to sample the podcast. This is a Monday through Friday show, so subscribe if you would, and you'll get this show directly to your device in whatever app you use every Monday through Friday. Regular listeners, thank you very much for subscribing, checking out this show, and supporting the podcast over all these years. You've made it the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, and hopefully, I get to live up to that every day. Today, this is going to change how I think about this offseason. Now, I am a podcast listener. I love listening to a bunch of podcasts when I go to the gym. When I talk about, like, hey, thanks for listening every day, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, I'm telling you all of the things that I do when I listen to podcasts. When I'm in the shower, I'll listen to a podcast. When I'm driving somewhere, I'll listen to a podcast. When I'm in the gym, very often I'm listening to podcasts because I listen to podcasts with information from reporters. Maybe they're dropping a little nugget. I listen to podcasts from other people on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to kind of hear what their opinions are so I can see what the other side or what other teams are thinking. And over the past couple of days, I caught up on a couple of podcasts. On Monday, the Zach Lowe Low Post podcast on ESPN and the Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst. And both of these podcasts filled my head. Oh, and also, by the way, the Chad Ford Big Board, which is on the Locked On Podcast Network. Chad Ford is a great listen if you want to listen for draft analysis. He's one of the best-known draft experts. He's had John Hollinger on. So those three podcasts fill my head with all of these new thoughts on the Celtics offseason. And I'm going to start in segment one with this flood of deals that are going to happen and the timing of this offseason where all of a sudden this, when it gets done, once they open up for business, could change everything about the Celtics offseason. Segments two and three are two specific names that have come up in a podcast that I didn't even think of or have been dismissive about. So that's coming up. Now, both Zach Lowe and Bobby Marks, who was on the Hoop Collective, both said, interestingly, that they expect, and they kind of threw, these are, let me backtrack for a second. All of these things were sort of like throwaway deals, like throwaway lines that stuck out to me. Zach and Bobby Marks both said that they expect this stuff to be done before the draft. So at some point, this is the November 10th show. The draft is on November 18th. They expect somewhere around the 14th, 15th, 16th, somewhere in that range, for everything to be approved. And once it's approved, there's no need for a moratorium. And because it's a quick turnaround between now and training camp, which starts December 1st, there's no reason to wait. So once it's approved, they're just going to let teams start doing business. But here's the thing. If you start letting teams do business before the draft, which, by the way, is how the Celtics and many other teams want to do this and have wanted to do this. If you start letting teams do business before the draft, then a team, especially like the Boston Celtics, that has specific needs could find those needs outside of the draft. So all of this time we're sitting there talking about, do the Celtics want to trade up and get some help for on the low post? Do the Celtics want to stay put and maybe fill out their roster with a couple of guys who might be able to help as shooters, scorers off the bench? Do they want to trade up and get a Killian Hayes that can become a future point guard and could help right away, or other players? Suddenly, that might not matter anymore, because the Celtics, instead of trading up and giving other teams, like we talk about the Pistons, the Knicks, the Cavs, quote-unquote bites at the apple, instead of giving them those picks, maybe they trade those picks to a team that has a player that they want. So this is where you make the proverbial, hey, you're trading the number 14th pick for this veteran guy, and you're getting, I don't even know why I said proverbial. That's actually what you're doing. You're trading this 14th pick. You're getting your help, instead of from the draft, from this veteran that is more of a win-now move. Or you're getting guys in deals that, instead of hoping a draft pick pans out, you're getting them in, you're getting known quantities. This is super important for the Boston Celtics, because known quantities are much more desirable for the Boston Celtics. This is a team that just went to the conference finals. It was a weird conference finals. It was not what we expected. And whatever you can say about the bubble and all of that, they still went to the conference finals. And they are trying to figure out how to compete against Brooklyn and Milwaukee and obviously Toronto and Philly, all of those teams that I laid out in prior podcasts about how they made great moves, specifically Philly and Brooklyn. I did that podcast, I think, last week, if you missed it, how their moves really accelerate what the Celtics need to do and put pressure on the Celtics. Well, if the Celtics can start making moves before the draft, then maybe the draft analysis is moot. Maybe they don't have a draft pick. And here's the other thing. These picks, these trades, these deals, these signings, these trades, they're starting to be agreed to right now. They have been. The framework of these deals has been thrown out there. These teams and players are doing business right now. They're out there striking deals because they've just been waiting. The deadline for finishing the collective bargaining agreement has been moved multiple times. So teams have been just kind of operating under, okay, here's your deadline. No, wait, no, here's your deadline. No, we're going to push it out another week. So I think most teams, they understand that the salary cap is going to be set about 109. They're not sure what the tax is going to be, but I'm sure they're getting guidance. And they understand kind of the general framework of what the collective bargaining agreement is going to be, enough where they can go to the free agents or the teams and say, assuming that it's somewhere in here, this is our offer to you. And if it's more or less, we can tweak it, but do we have a deal? And the other side be like, yeah, if this is how their agreement works, then yes, we have a deal. There's a lot of that going on. So everyone is expecting on day one, if that's November 14th, they expect the second the NBA allows for trades to be done, there's going to be a flood of moves. Zach Lowe says a lot of stuff's going to be flying around. And that is, I think, beneficial for the Celtics. I think the Celtics are obviously very, very much part of this flood. And if they're working behind the scenes, they know the picks. They have an idea of who's out there, who might be available, what teams might be looking for. We might be sitting here talking about stuff that, frankly, has been agreed to already. Now they're keeping it under wraps because they're doing a good job of like respecting the decisions of the both sides here as they negotiate the collective bargaining agreement. You can't say for sure, you can't leak it to Woj that, hey, for sure the Celtics are going to sign so-and-so as a free agent. Can't say that because you don't know what the final numbers are actually going to be. But I'm sure everybody's kind of like operating under the same premise. So once this stuff gets done at the league level with the Players Association, then we're going to start seeing a flood of things happening with teams and players and trades. And like I said, happening before the draft really changes the entire dynamic. Now, I've also heard a couple of names that are interesting. And again, the nature of how they were brought up blew my mind. One of them is Detroit's Luke Kennard, who I was dismissive. I didn't think Detroit would be looking to move him. But John Hollinger threw out a very casual Luke Kennard deal that makes me say, yes, let's get Luke Kennard. That's coming up next. Now, this has got me all very excited. I was a little tired earlier, and this news and doing this podcast is breaking me through this wall. It's like a built go without putting it in the packet. That's the feeling you're going to get with built go, this level of excitement, this feeling of kind of breaking through your wall, whatever your wall is, whether it's that mid-afternoon kind of lull at work or that feeling before you go to the gym that you kind of don't want to go. Built Go can help you bust right through that wall. Whether it's mental or physical, you can get there with Built Go every day. The packages are nice, easy, convenient, an ounce and a half. You can throw them in a bag. You can put them in your pocket. It's a workout gel. You've seen like cyclists, they bust open one of those workout gels, they squeeze it into their mouth, and boom. You don't get that crash feeling that you might get with some other energy drinks. It's natural, so it's better for your body. Three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, coconut, chocolate, and chocolate mint. And this is how it works. They put the energy gel in there with the collagen protein. That collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, and it's easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. This really gets me going when I need to bust through that wall. B6, B12 vitamins, and the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. And this is my biggest need with stuff like this. It literally makes you look better. So go to builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. If the Boston Celtics are indeed getting ready to make some moves before the NBA draft, what could they be? Well, could be anything, really. We've mentioned a lot of names over the course of time. They could simply be still looking to move up in the draft. That's always a possibility. Or they could be looking to trade for specific players. Now, I was listening to Chad Ford's Big Board with Chad Ford and John Hollinger as his guest here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And I want to play for you a clip. Here's John Hollinger casually mentioning a very interesting deal while working through thoughts about Detroit trading up for LaMelo Ball.
Is that a deal that makes sense for them to go from 7-2, get LaMelo Ball, or go from 7-2, get LaMelo Ball. There's also like some little, like you hear Luke Kennard stuff out there all the time because he's coming up for an extension, but I don't think that's anything that involves lottery picks. That's like, you know, when Boston's picks at 26 and 30 and stuff like that, right? That's where you're talking about Luke Kennard stuff. So the main one for me, I think, is can they get in position to get LaMelo Ball?
So interestingly, Luke Kennard seems available and available for the 26th and 30th pick. And if the Celtics are really interested in moving all of these picks, if they're not interested in using one of these to basically sell Enes Kanter or maybe draft and stash somebody, if that doesn't take priority, using those two picks, which I basically consider throwaway picks, I don't think the 30th pick is very valuable, but for a team like Detroit, it might be, because in this draft, it's who knows who you can get down there, but it's more of a project, and the Celtics don't have time for a project. Maybe throwing those two picks for a guy like Luke Kennard would be great. Maybe that could work. Now, the question about Luke Kennard, and it's been brought up, people have asked me, I forget who it was that asked me, if it was you, and I was dismissive about it, because I was certainly dismissive about it, it's because, A, I didn't think the Celtics had what it took to trade for him, because, B, I thought Detroit valued him pretty highly. I was pretty sure that Detroit just wasn't going to throw him, just say, here, take him. We'll take a couple of picks for him. I thought they valued him. I mean, he's going to be a restricted free agent, so they could easily keep him. They could play the game of let him go out and get a contract and then match his deal if they wanted to. And if they don't want to, then I guess here we are. But here's a guy who's 23. When's his birthday? He just had his birthday. So he just turned 23. He's 6'5". He shoots pretty damn well. Shot 40% from three. Shooting 40% from three over the course of his career. This past season, averaged 16 points, albeit in limited time. He missed half of their abbreviated season with a knee issue, a tendonitis thing, which is what would scare teams off and what would scare Detroit off. But they also, when he was back for their minicamps, they said he looked pretty good and healthy and all of that. I'm sure the Celtics would be looking at the medicals first. It would be tough to have two players with knee issues like that on the team, especially, I mean, Luke Kennard, I don't know if he would move into the starting lineup, but it's if the Celtics use their two picks to get Luke Kennard, starting him at the two might not be a bad idea, but I haven't even given this a ton of thought. I'm just saying, like, off the top of my head, all of this, of course, is assuming that maybe Gordon Hayward goes somewhere. If Gordon Hayward stays, then Kennard would be great coming off of the bench. But either way, if you get Kennard, then he could become a starter if you trade Gordon Hayward. Now, all of a sudden, you've got Marcus Smart as your backup point guard, Kennard with his 40% shooting, spacing the floor, being more of a catch-and-shoot guy, alongside Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. It takes one more guy that can go out there and hit the three. They need a guy who can reliably hit that three. I think it's a deal that all of a sudden seems plausible. So I didn't think it was something that the Celtics could pull off. And Hollinger just casually saying, yeah, you know, those last two picks, That's kind of what you're looking for. Is that worth it? Is it an overpay? You have to maybe match what he's making. I mean, he's making $5 million. They could throw Poirier and cash over to Detroit to make that work. Let me see. Poirier might be right on the verge. Poirier, Ojeleye, and cash could work if they wanted to do that. Or if Enes Kanter opted in, they could send him there and that could work too. I don't know. The Celtics could make it work financially. They have ways. So Luke Kennard as a possibility. I think that would be a great one. Now, Hollinger also mentioned another name. Just kind of threw it out there. Larry Nance. I'll talk about that when I come back Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Back to the Chad Ford Big Board podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. John Hollinger again casually throwing out there a possibility. And in this one, he's talking about the Cavaliers trying to move up.
I think there's a roundabout way for them to move into the top three. If Charlotte is interested in moving down from 3 to 5, you trade Larry Nance to Boston for the 14th pick. Boston can assemble enough contracts to be a matching salary for that. And then you trade 5 and 14 to Charlotte for 3. And then that gets you. The problem is when you move into the top three, now you're taking Ball or Edwards, and your last two drafts, you took Sexton and Garland. Now, if it was up to me, like if you come in here as a new front office, you say, well, we don't have anything invested in Garland and Sexton and they weren't that good. So what's the big deal? But it's hard when you're the front office that picked them to go ahead and make that move and sort of recruit over the top of your last two lottery picks. Edwards is probably an easier fit there than Ball would be. But you could argue Ball is big and can move Sexton off the ball, and you could play them that way too. It would be an interesting move for Cleveland, certainly. That's the best I can do on a trade for them. I mean, otherwise you could just say, just trade Nance to Boston for the 14th pick and be happy with that, right?
Yeah, and adding another pick, they seem in such a strange limbo. You know, even whether you're adding an Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball, you know, putting them with Kevin Love and Andre Drummond, again, I'm just trying to figure out what direction this team is going. Do you think there's a Kevin Love deal out there?
No, not at all. No, I don't think there's any market for him at all.
Is Larry Nance worth the 14th pick? I mean, I don't know. I would say normally maybe not, but in this draft maybe so. And in this situation maybe so. And this is where it's tough for me versus Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge knows the worth of these picks, and putting out there that he's willing to overpay, I don't know that he's excited to overpay, but at the same time, this is the year to overpay. And the Celtics don't have a bevy of draft picks moving forward. This is going to be a little while before the Celtics give Danny Ainge all of those kinds of assets. It's going to be different. And of course, me from the outside, I can sit there and say it's fine to overpay if I think that the 14th pick for Larry Nance Jr. and players, basically throwaway players, works. Now, how do you get that done? Now, Larry Nance Jr. makes $12 million, his salary next year. This is the good thing about him. So he's 27, by the way. His salary declines over the next 3 years. So next year it's 11.7, then it's 10.7, then it's basically almost 9.7. So it goes down by approximately $1 million a year over the next 3 seasons. So you've got Larry Nance Jr. for 3 seasons. It works out. His money declines. That helps. To get to $12 million, you can throw, this is a Cantor, Poirier, and Ogilvy together can work with the cash. So I don't know how they want to work it out with, if they're trying to do something with Detroit. You know, maybe Detroit can be a, you figure out Javonte Green or a whatever. I'm not going to go too crazy figuring out the picks, the players. Basically, I know Detroit would be looking for the picks. Maybe they'd want to take a flyer on Carson Edwards. Who knows? A young player like that. With the Cavaliers, they'd be looking for that 14th pick. That would be the biggest thing. Getting younger. Maybe they feel okay about Ogilvy. You give them cash to waive Poirier. They could actually hold on to Enes Kanter and turn around and use Enes Kanter as a trade chip in the middle of the season. You know, try to get even if you get him for future second rounders, like why not? If this is how you build a team. You get a 14th pick for this guy. You get your cash, the other players you throw away. You give Semi Ojeleye a shot to maybe, hey, a little bit more opportunity. Let's see what you can do with it. No? Cut him? Trade him? Canter? Somebody can find him useful? I mean, we know what his limitations are, but somebody can find him useful. You trade him to a team at the trade deadline that could use a little help in the front court, that has seen him maybe go up against Joel Embiid and say, hey, you know what? We'll give up a couple of future second round picks for him, or a future second round pick, whatever. I don't know. But from Cleveland's perspective, you get a first round pick and a second round pick for Nance, basically. That's pretty good. And if Ojeleye, with more opportunity, becomes a serviceable player for them, he's already serviceable. Let's see what happens if he gets more opportunity there. Worth a shot, right? I think this could work. Now, Nance, is he great? No, but he's 6'7". He's a good defender. Last year, he shot a career-best 35% from three. So, historically, not a great three-point shooter, but last year, about league average. That's not bad. If he's coming off of the bench, at his size, a little versatility, he can defend. Maybe it's worth a shot. And now we have a situation where perhaps, and people are talking all about Gordon Hayward, if the Celtics are able to take Gordon Hayward, their draft picks, and players that they don't want, and turn them into guys like Luke Kennard, Larry Nance, and two good role players, now you find your potential starting shooting guard, or you move Marcus Smart into the starting two, and you find somebody else behind him that can handle the ball a little bit. Maybe Tremont Waters gets a shot. Or maybe you trade for a guy that's serviceable as a backup point guard or third ball handler. You've got your starting five. You've got a bench of three or four guys that are known entities that in these situations, and it's important to remember, it's in this situation with the Boston Celtics in a reduced role around Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, better players than they've played with, better situation, better coaching, more stability. That's when guys like this in more specific roles can do more than maybe they've done in the past. And already, Nance can be a good defender, can score a little bit, can get out in transition and finish. Kennard's obviously a dead-eye shooter. What can you get for Gordon Hayward? We've talked a lot about that. There's an opportunity now, before we even get to the draft, for the Celtics to shore everything up. Obviously, there are going to be a lot more suggestions, and these are not the be-all, end-all. If this is how the Celtics did it, I don't know. I think with Nance and Kennard and whatever you pull off for Gordon Hayward works. Or Hayward looks at this and says, you know what? I'm going to stick around. And you now have added two bench scorers, two bench guys to go along with Marcus Smart. And we haven't even talked about Grant Williams and the role he can play as he improves and maybe Robert Williams improves. We're looking at building out a pretty decent bench here. And that's the whole goal for the Boston Celtics. This isn't the end of the conversation. There are going to be other names that come up. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Celtics handle this offseason, and especially when this offseason comes back and the timing of it and how that impacts what the Celtics are planning. So if you're a new listener, if you haven't subscribed yet, you can please subscribe. Wherever you get your podcast, however you found this podcast, you can find it and subscribe again. There's a subscribe button if you've done it through the Twitter feed. Or if you're on Spotify, you can follow. Please do that. Regular listeners, you know what to do. 5-star rating, a good written review would be amazing. Obviously, check out all of these other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. I mentioned a couple of times Chad Ford's Big Board. It's going to give you a lot of the draft stuff that you need. Locked On NBA, which I host on Wednesdays along with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. Lots of good stuff on the network, so please check it out. So once again, thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.